may be seated. As you are, turn with me this morning for the reading and preaching of the Word of God to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, I'll be reading verses 26 through 38. Reminding us again, this is the Word of God, inerrant, infallible, inspired by Him. It is, thus saith the Lord, and He would have us to hear, to embrace, believe, and be thankful for what He says to us in His Word. Luke 1, pick it up at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Well, the title of the sermon this morning is simply this: God prepares Mary. This is a time of year when even pagans celebrate Christmas. Celebrating Christmas is not a unique thing for those of us who are Christians. And many of us who are Christians do a lot of the same things that the pagans do in our celebration, yet for a different reason and for a different purpose. For the world and the lost people, they get involved with shopping and buying and giving and exchanging gifts. Many of them seem to think in more in terms of what they're going to get than what they're going to give, but nonetheless, they're involved in that. They decorate their homes just like we do. Some send cards. Some take their kids to have their picture made with Santa at the mall or some other place. There's a lot of baking that goes on, and this is a special time of year for extra goodies, and I certainly am one who enjoys those. And there are all kinds of parties and plays and TV specials and musicals in churches and all kinds of other things. And so it is that in our culture, in our American culture, these are the things that we do to celebrate Christmas. However, for those of us who are Christians, there's far more to Christmas than these, what I would call, peripheral things. This is the time of year when we are reminded from the Word of God of the virgin conception and birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This really, and there used to be some stickers that, or lapel pins or whatever, that you would see all over the place, sometimes bumper stickers or in certain places, you would read these words: Jesus is the reason for the season. And he certainly is. And so all these other things are good and nice, and I appreciate them and enjoy them. But my heart is fixed on celebrating the conception and virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It should be a reminder to us, not only who came, but why he came and how he came. And so today is about how he came. God prepares Mary. And the more I thought of this, the more I was reminded of just how kind Almighty God was to Mary to prepare her for this unique event. We could think about that for a long, long time. Just for a moment, though, think of a young woman becoming pregnant and her in the condition she was, and I'll get to that in a moment. If God had not prepared her for that, it probably would have driven her crazy. I mean, after a few months, and she begins to show, and she begins to wonder, what in the world is going on? How did this happen? Something is not right. And at best, she would have been extremely confused. And God knew all of that. And sometimes there are things that happen in our lives that God precedes those things by preparing us for them. I can think of one thing that he did in my life, preparing me for a certain thing. It was for our youngest granddaughter's birth. At 26 weeks, born by C-section, weighing only 1 pound and 1 ounce. But there were some, 12, 14 years prior to that, he caused, when we were away out of town, caused a pipe in our home to freeze and burst, and some 55,000 gallons, according to the water meter, went into our house and just made the biggest mess you can imagine. And I argued with him on the way home about that verse, Romans 8:28. I'd quoted that to other people who had had problems and all of that. And you remember what the verse said: God causes all things to work together for our good, to those of us who love him and are called according to his purpose. But I argued with him. I wasn't convinced. How is our home flooded going to work together for our good? I just don't see it. Well, that's another whole sermon, another whole story, but bottom line is he did. He made good on his word, and Joyce knew after I confessed to her the problem I was going through with all that, was wise enough to cross-stitch that verse and put it in a shadow box. Before then, I didn't even know what a shadow box was. But we hung that in our home, and it's been in every home we've lived in ever since, right by the front door. And as we enter and exit or look at it or see it, it reminds us the Word of God is absolutely true, and what he says, he will do. So no matter what, he's going to work that together for our good. And so he used that to prepare me for our youngest granddaughter's birth and the difficulty of that. And he has seen us through all of that. And by the way, she is now in her freshman year at Anderson University and doing very well. A and B grades, mostly A's. And So we were down there in Thanksgiving, talked with her in Thanksgiving, and she was telling me about this bad grade she made in one of her classes. And I said, well, what was the problem? And she said, well, Papa, I took good notes and I listened while the lecture was going on, and I just figured all the tests would be on the lecture. But it wasn't. He asked us questions from the textbook, and I had not read the textbook. And I said, well, a couple things you need to learn there, girl. You need to learn to read the book. And she said, you mean this book? I said, well, yeah, you need to read that one too, but I'm talking about you need to read the textbook. If your professor gives you an assignment in the textbook, you better read it. And here's another thing you need to learn. You need to memorize Romans 8:28. And it's a good thing at this point that you didn't read that textbook, because you can now learn this lesson, that God causes all things to work together for our good to those of us who love him and are called according to his purpose. And that's what you're doing at the university anyway. You're there to learn. And so now you learn this lesson that God is teaching you. He's causing even your lack of reading the textbook to teach you a lesson, that you really ought to do that. And so I expect that B to turn into an A before things are concluded. Well, God prepares us for the things that are ahead in our lives. And God prepared Mary for what was going to happen to her. Unique situation, unique event. It would only happen one time in all of history. And so what we have here this morning before us is a conversation between Gabriel and Mary. So let's look now at these verses. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. God gave Gabriel his marching orders. It was God who told him, I want you to go down there and I want you to speak to Mary and I want you to announce to her what I'm going to do in and through her life. I want you to explain this to her. She needs to know. She needs to be prepared so it won't confuse her or upset her. And not only from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, but to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. This word virgin is used at least three times in this section of Scripture. The Greek word is parthenos, and it literally means one who has not experienced sexual intercourse. That's what a virgin is. And by the way, it's still the will of God for young lads and ladies to remain virgins until they marry. Our world's got that all confused. And our culture today doesn't even begin to think that way. We've got people all over the land just living together. Back in my day, we called it shacking up. Well, Mary was indeed a virgin. Let's read on. And so coming in, the angel said to her, Hail, favored one. He wanted her to know, God has selected you out of all the young women in the world for this miraculous event. And he told her, The Lord is with you. But as the text says in verse 29, she was greatly troubled by this statement. She didn't understand. She didn't get it. She kept pondering, what kind of salutation might this be? Now, the Bible does reveal to us that on many occasions, angels do appear to people as people. And a lot of times on the receiving end of that, those who the revelation is coming to don't understand this is an angel. They look at them and think it's a person. And I don't begin to understand how that works, other than that's the way God does it. That's good enough for me. Well, she was just troubled by the statement, wondering what in the world's going on here. Well, why is he telling me this? And so the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Well, Mary's getting the picture now. It's beginning to dawn on her what the message, what the announcement is all about. She gets it. But then her immediate response, look at verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Mary was a young woman, but I can tell you this, Mary was not naive. Mary knew biology well enough to know that since I am a virgin, this can't happen. It's not natural. It's not normal for virgins to conceive and still be a virgin. So Gabriel's got some more explaining to do, doesn't he? And he continues with his announcement and explanation to help her with her understanding. And so in 35 and 6, he answered her and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for this reason the Holy Offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." So he was explaining to her, "Mary, I understand you're a virgin. That's one of the reasons why God selected you. And I know it's not normal, it's not natural for a virgin to conceive and remain a virgin. I understand that. You know that. I know that. Everyone knows that. But this is a unique situation. This is going to be a once in eternity event. It's going to be a miraculous conception and birth. And no doubt Mary, being the Jewish girl that she was, knew about all of those or many of those miraculous events that God caused to take place in the Old Testament. Almighty God is a God of miracles. He caused Sarah to conceive in her old age. Yes, Abraham was the father of Isaac, not God. But even that child, Isaac's conception and birth, and even his life, was a forerunner or figure of what was to come with God and his only begotten son. And if you remember the time in Genesis, forget the exact chapter, I think it might have been 22, but anyway, Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him as God instructed him to do. And the place was called what? God will provide. And God did provide. And God did spare Isaac. But then we read in Hebrews that the reason Abraham was willing to go through with that was because he knew that God, even if he killed his only begotten son whom he loved, that God could raise him up again. And there was another time, another place, another father, and another son. This time, on Calvary, the son was not spared, but died, and then rose again, victorious over sin and death and hell for all of his people. The miracle of Noah and the flood, the miracle of parting the Red Sea and the Israelites crossing the Jordan and God giving them the victory at Jericho and the victory he gave Gideon and David and Goliath and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Daniel and Jonah. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And so after, again, explaining to Mary, it'll be the Holy Spirit who comes upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And then in verse 37, he concludes his explanation by saying to Mary, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Now, I want us to let that sink in, that phrase. Nothing will be impossible with God. Not even the birth of a granddaughter at 26 weeks, weighing only 1 pound and 1 ounce. Spending over 5 months in the NIC unit. And after finally gaining up to 5 pounds, and it took over 5 months to do that, man, I can gain 5 pounds over Thanksgiving Day. Went home after 5+ months on oxygen for the remainder of the year and on a heart monitor for the remainder of the year. But at the same time, God continued to work and continued to work and continued to work. And now, a very wonderful young Christian girl. Amazing. Yes, we refer to her as our miracle grandchild. God had to intervene. God had to give her life. God had to see her through that. God had to cause her to grow and develop and mature. So, again, Gabriel concluded by saying to Mary, "Nothing will be impossible with God." Let's apply that for just a moment to our situation. We don't know, our provisional session, the rest of us don't know what Church Extension Committee and or Presbytery is going to do with our request that we plan to submit to them to be processed through the committee in March and Presbytery in April. We don't know what they're going to do with that. But I can tell you this, It's not impossible with God to bring to pass our heart's desire. We already know that. He has already demonstrated that. Nothing will be impossible with God. And so Gabriel has done what the Lord has instructed him to do. He has delivered the announcement or the message. Mary has gotten it. And then hearing those words, here was how Mary concluded. And she said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. When she finally got it, her response was submission to the one only living and true God. I submit my will to his will. If this is what he wants to do in me and through me, so be it. Even though I'm Parthenos, that's not too difficult a thing for God to accomplish. Nothing will be impossible with him. And so we hear, and so we believe. We take God at his word, just like Mary did. And it's nothing short of miraculous, this work by the Holy Spirit that we call regeneration. I mean, to take a person that's lost and dead in their trespasses and sins and make them alive together with Christ. That's a big deal. To change the way a person thinks, to change the way a person believes, to change the way a person behaves, to change the eternal destiny of that person. The wonders that Almighty God performs. We stand in awe of him. And this is what we celebrate. It's more than decorations. It's more than goodies. It's more than parties. It's more than all of that. It's about the love of our God for those of us who are his people. And to send his only begotten Son, whom he loved, by way of a virgin conception and birth, to live and die and rise again for our salvation. And I'll tell you, that's worth celebrating. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that nothing is impossible with you. Thank you for the way that you prepared Mary to conceive and give birth to your only begotten Son, even as a virgin. Thank you for all that you do for your people to prepare us for the things that you have in store for us in the days that are ahead. Thank you, Lord, even though I didn't realize it when I was lost and dead in my trespasses and sins, yet you taught me lessons that prepared me to be a preacher of your word and a pastor of your people. You are amazing. we love you because you first loved us. And these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing hymn this morning, Trinity Hymnal, page number 204, Away in a Manger.